Right, good morning to one and all. I bring you greetings from Life Bible Presbyterian Church. And today we are going to learn from Joshua chapter 22, which we have just read from verses 1 to 6. And the title is Be Faithful. So are there times when you feel very frustrated when your shoe is broken, especially the sole of your shoes are broken, and you try to mend your shoes with glue and it can't work? Are you at times when you try to use some soap receptacles with suction cups and you try to fix it onto your bathroom tiles, bathroom walls, and after a while it drops off? And what would happen to all these things that you use, household items that you use? You would put it in the storeroom or you will never use it again. So today, are we like these suction cups or non-sticky glues, not to adhere to God and to His Word? If God were to look down from heaven, how would He look at you? Are you a faithful servant of His? Are you a faithful brother of Christ, a faithful sister of Christ? So as we ponder about this question, we got to ask ourselves, are we so absorbed into this world whereby the standard of this world is based on success? If you are success, means you are good. If you are success in your education, successful in your work, successful in your family, then you are good. You are somebody that God favors. And that is not true if you read the Bible, that God does not look at success or successful Christians. God looks at faithful Christians. He desires faithful Christians. And just now, Steve mentioned that I will be speaking from Jeremiah. I know why he mentioned Jeremiah, because as you can see, Jeremiah was never a successful prophet. All the 40 years when he preached to the kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Israel, that is Judah, no one listened to him. No one listened to him. He was considered in men's eyes unsuccessful. But God said of him that he is successful in the fact that he is faithful, faithful. And the memory verse that we have just recited, and Paul did say that God counted him faithful and not successful. God counted him faithful, putting him into the ministry. And so let us remember that in this world, there are many people have been breaking their covenants, be it their promises, their bonds, their marriages, their vows, and so forth. And this is exactly what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, this is a true, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says here, I read to you, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers or covenant breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So it is a list of sins that people have done in these perilous times. And you can see all these people in your workplace, or even in your homes, and in school, in army, and so forth. So are we going to be different as a Christian? As a Christian, are we going to be different? Are we going to be a light of the world, a salt of the earth? And so here, let us be challenged this morning that we are to be reminded, be faithful always. Be faithful always. And that's what in this passage have been telling us as we have read verses 1 to 6. Here we can see there were three tribes. And who are they? Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh, who have already got their possessions of their lands in the eastern side of the Jordan River. And if you cannot, after this worship service, remember these three tribes, I hope that you can remember this acronym, MGR. No, MGR is a short form for manager, right? MGR, usually. So MGR is Manasseh and Gad and Reuben. So just remember these three tribes who already gotten the possession of the lands of the eastern side of the river Jordan, or what we call the Transjordan. And there was no necessity for them to cross over to conquer the promised land because they already have their homes and they have already settled there. But then Moses was not happy that they would stay in the lands, in the Transjordan. And so Moses commanded these people of these three tribes that they would cross over with the rest of the tribes to fight against the giants in the western side of River Jordan, or what we call the Cisjordan, C-I-S, Cisjordan. And so this we read in Numbers 32, verses 16 to 19. And they said, "And they came near unto him and said, 'We will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones, but we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place, and our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side of Jordan or forward, because our inheritance is fallen to us on this side, Jordan eastward.'" So they made a promise to Moses that, yes, we will obey your command to go into the promised land to fight with our brethren, but we will not take the lands to be our possessions when we are successful. We will still go back to the Transjordan, our lands, to remain where we were supposed to be. So that was their promise to this Moses. And you can see from Numbers 32, 16 to 19, which I've just read, these were the words of Reuben and Gad, and there was no mentioning of Manasseh, but this was implied in Deuteronomy 3, 12 to 13, about Manasseh agreeing to what the two tribes have said. So I read to you Deuteronomy 3, 12 to 13, whereby Moses said, "And this land which we possess at the time from Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, and half Mount Gilead, and the cities therefore, thereof gave I unto the Reubenites and to Gadites and the rest of Gilead, and all Bashan, being the kingdom of Og, gave I unto the half tribe of Manasseh, all the regions of Argob, with all Bashan, which was called the land of giants." So the two and a half tribes have decided that, yes, we will make this promise to Moses and we will go into the promised land to fight alongside with our fellow brethren. And this is not a simple promise. This is not a simple promise. It's not a simple promise that we make sometimes to our friends. "I will visit you next week at your place, or I will bring this to you tomorrow. I will text you afterwards." It's not that simple promise. This promise involves their lives. Lives are at stake. And why so? They have to leave their wives and their children and their loved ones behind to go into the promised land. And they might face danger. Their lives will be at risk. They might be killed in the wars. And they will have to undergo hardship, going through undulating terrain, unfamiliar terrain, fighting not pygmies or dwarfs, but fighting giants. And so these are the risks that were involved. And so there is that trembling and fear. I remember when I was in the army during my national service, 2.5 years, my time was 2.5 years, I did parachuting. So whenever we parachute, I have no fears because there wasn't any obligation. I don't have a wife, don't have children. I just jump every time I'm required to jump. But then when I got married and got into reservist, I got a child, I was filled with trepidation and fear because what I thought of was my family. What if the parachute can't open? Right? What if the emergency parachute also won't open? What if? There are many ifs running through my mind. So there was lots of fear, lots of thing going through to jump out of that plane. So, but thank God, God has been faithful. And so these people, when they made this promise, they realized what were the risks involved. Because they have heard from their fathers, the forefathers who had passed away when they were young, how they were like grasshoppers, and these people were giants in the land of the promise or the promised land. But then they trusted in God. They went by faith. They knew that God has always been faithful. God has seen them through the 40 years of their wandering, or the 38 years exactly, right? To be precise, 38 years of wandering the wilderness, God has seen them through with the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire by night. He will see them through into the promised land. So for all of us, as we go into our life's journeys ahead of us, always remember that our God is always faithful. He will carry you through. If you look back in your life, you could see how God has been faithful to you. God has never failed you. And so for yourself, you are a child of God. You are the lights of the world. You must reflect this faithfulness that God has given to you and have shown to you. So as I mentioned earlier, would you be a different Christian from today onwards in your home, in your workplace, and in school, or in army, or in any place that you are in today? And so you can see that the children of Israel, of Gad, Manasseh, and Reuben, they fought alongside against the giants in the promised land. And now at this juncture, we know that it's towards the end of the war campaign, and Joshua was about to decommission them, to let them go back to the land that they have possessed at this Transjordan. So you can see that they honored their commitment, honored their word. And you can see from the verse in chapter 22 of verse of Joshua, verse 2, and said unto them, Joshua said unto them, ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. So they have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. So that's their faithfulness. They have kept all, not some, not a few, not a little, but kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded them. And so they were true to his word. They were faithful to his word. And you can see that as they go into the promised land, Moses died at which mountain? Mount Nebo, right? Moses died at Mount Nebo. And who is the new leader? Who was the new leader? Of course, you know, is Joshua. And naturally, humanly speaking, these tribes, these 2.5 tribes would say, oh, our obedience was to Moses' command and never to Joshua's command. So the commitment or promise to Moses since his death is left, right? Is no more, because this Moses is gone, so the commitment has also lapsed. So naturally, they would have found excuses to do that. Say, why should I follow Joshua? Our commitment is only to Moses. Why should I follow Joshua? They could have said that in rebellion. I know they were true to his word, to their word. They were true to their word. They were not quick to make excuses to escape from the difficult situation or responsibilities in front of them. They would not allow fear to grip them. They trusted in this faithful God. They trusted in the new leader. And so they submit themselves to this new leader called Joshua. And so Joshua said in the latter part of verse 2, "And have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you." So Joshua was very pleased that they have submitted to this new leader. And so how about us? How about us? Are you very quick to make excuses when difficulties arise and you want to find an escape door to avoid the difficulties? Many young people today are called the strawberry generation. Strawberry generation, meaning they are easily bruised. Once hardship comes, they are easily bruised, and they will find escape, they will find ways to escape from their roles and responsibilities, their hardship. So let us not be a strawberry generation for our young people, and even for the older generation, right? I think we are called the X generation. We are not to be strawberry generation. Maybe we should call ourselves the durian generation, right? Tough and thorny, but inside filled with that aroma and fragrance, if you like durian, right? So let us remember that these 2.5 tribes were faithful. They were faithful to the new leader. They were faithful and submit themselves to the new leader, and they were not afraid of the difficulties ahead. So today, as you sit here, you may be thinking of the workload this coming week, the backlog to clear because holidays are coming. You need to clear as much work as you need to go for the holidays. Or it could be a new job that you are afraid of, or it could be a problem in your marriage life, and you are finding the easiest way out, or you are taking shortcuts in your career. So do not follow the world's method of making excuses and blaming others other than yourself, but be faithful and submit to God and submit to those who are above you, and to trust in the fact that God will see you through the difficulties. So always have the integrity of heart. Guard your heart with all due diligence. Have the integrity of your heart that, yes, I must be faithful to the promise that I have promised others. I must be faithful to the commitment. So especially for this Manasseh, for this Gad and Reuben, this new leader, Joshua, they could have given excuse not to follow, but they did. And likewise for us, you may have a new boss coming into your company. Would you submit to this new boss of yours? It may be your peers who have been promoted and they are now higher ranking than you. Are you willing to submit to them? Or it could be a relief teacher coming to your school, and would you submit to this relief teacher, to her or his authority, or you are just trying to bully her and refuse to submit to his or her authority just because he is a relief teacher in your class? So we ought to remember submission is very important as part of being faithful. And in verse 3, you could see that these 2.5 tribes were also faithful in being selfless to their fellow brethren. In verse 3, it says, "Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God." So they were selfless. They have not left the brethren. They would not halfway say, "I give up. It's too tough for us. There are so many Canaanites to fight. and they are still inside in all the cities, and they are really giants, big giants. I couldn't fight them. So let's give up. Let's pack up and go back to our homes. They didn't do that. They have not left their brethren these many days until this day. So how are they so faithful not to give up? Because they love their brethren. And why would they love their brethren? Joshua says, they have not kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God, Jehovah your God. It's because of their vertical relationship with God. It's because their vertical relationship with God is very healthy, that their horizontal relationship with men were also healthy. And so likewise, for every one of us, if you want to be faithful to your spouse, faithful to your family members, faithful to your colleagues, faithful to your teachers, your schoolmates, your classmates, in your relationship with them, your vertical relationship with God must be there, must be intact. So I ask you today, are you like the 2.5 tribes keeping charge of the commandment of the Lord Jehovah your God? Are you walking close with Him? Are you lifting up your hearts to Him every day in your devotion, praying and being right with Him, loving Him, and knowing that you are being loved by Him? So often than not, we all Christians, from Monday to Saturdays, or on Sundays, we call our God Abba Father, but from Monday to Saturdays, we lived as orphans, right? We treated God as non-existent, and we forgot that we are always being loved by God, and so we ought to love Him as He has loved us, first love us. And this loving is by actions, praying, reading His Word. And I believe this has been, this basics of a Christian walk has always been preached from this pulpit. And so why is that so? That's the only way for you to get right with God and for you to get right with people. And so today, are you quarreling with your siblings at home? Are you fighting with your wives, with your husbands? Are you going through difficulties with your colleagues? I hope that you will examine your vertical relationship with God. Ask the Lord whether you are right with Him. Be honest with Him. And pray like Psalm 51, as you have put up in your for the theme of this church. Right, restore unto us the joy of your salvation. Restore, ask the Lord to restore to unto you the joy of this salvation with Him. Right, this walk with Him, this relationship with Him. So they have not left their brethren these many days. And so for new life, to be together, right, to be united, all of us must have a right relationship with God. So thank God that His promises will always be true. If you were to be united, He will bless you, as according to Psalm 133. How blessed are those who dwell together in unity. And you can see how God blessed these people, Israel, were in unity. And God will bless new life if you are in unity. There will be peace, and there won't be much conflicts. There will be togetherness, and you will grow from strength to strength. And so you can see that these brethren from the 2.5 tribes, they were faithful to the end. And verse 3, as I read just now, Joshua says, many days unto this day, they were faithful unto to the end. They have proved their faithfulness to their commitments, and but then you can see in verse 5, Joshua warned them, said, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all His ways and to keep His commandments and to cleave unto Him and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua reminded them, yes, now I have decommissioned you to go back to Transjordan to back to your families, but then you mustn't run away or withdraw from God, even as you are separated from the tribes, from your brethren. You are not to be separated from God. You are to remember Him. You are to do His commandments. And Joshua says, you have to take diligent heed to the commandment. And so that's what we should do if we want to run this race. We are to be faithful. We are to be faithful, to be diligent to the commandment and the law of God. So let us not put away God in our lives. Let us not distance ourselves from Him. Let us not run away from Him. Let us continue to be like the sticky glue, to stick to God always. No matter what happens, I will not give up. I will not give up on God because God doesn't give up on me. So there was this story of the student of John the Apostle. His name was Polycarp. At the age of 80 years old, he was tried for believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, for his faith. And they asked him to denounce his faith. The Roman emperor asked him to denounce his faith. And he told the Roman emperor and to the audience who were jeering at him, he said, for 80 years, God has never been unfaithful to me. God has always loved me and has never forsaken me. How could I, at this age of 80, forsake him and to reject him and deny him? And so you can see his commitment is all the way, even when his life is going to end by the hands of the enemies of God. So likewise, you can say that as Polycarp, for all these 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50, 60, 70, God has never been unfaithful to me. How could I now be unfaithful to Him and deny Him? So let us be diligent to take heed to God's words and to know that His truth sanctify us. And let us also remember, as Joshua said, to love the Lord your God and to walk in His ways. So remember, we are to be lovers of God and to be lovers of His word. And that will help us to be faithful to the end. And you can see our Lord Jesus, He was faithful to the end, faithful to God always. He lived as a man, and He continued to do God's will until He said on the cross, "It is finished." What if Jesus gave up halfway? He could have said, all this mocking by my creatures, all these people whom I've created, they are so terrible towards me, so unfaithful, so rebellious, I will just send legions of angels to destroy them. No, He did not do that. He obediently went to the cross, being faithful to the will of God, to die on the cross and accomplish our salvation for us. And how Jesus was faithful to the end. And that was shown in all His disciples, except for Judas Iscariot. And we know that Peter, he went all out to preach the gospel, and he was crucified upside down at the end. And Andrew, he was in Asia Minor, he was crucified spread eagle position. That's why St. Andrew's school, they have this cross that is depicting Andrew's death, the spread eagle position. And Thomas, he went to India, he was pierced by four soldiers running into him, and he was pierced right through his body. And Matthew, he was stabbed to death in Ethiopia. And James, son of Alphaeus, he was clubbed to death in Syria. And Simon the Zealot, he was killed while preaching in Persia. And you can see Nathanael, he was skinned alive and beheaded. And Philip, he was scourged, thrown in prison and crucified. And James, son of Zebedee, in Acts 12, he was killed with a sword. And Thaddeus or Jude, he was crucified. And also John the Apostle, he was exiled and he died there, but peacefully. And Paul himself, he was beheaded by Nero, right at the end of his life. And so all these people, they have run the race. They have run the race. They have pressed on in spite of the difficult life that they have. They have run the race, trusting the Lord, taking diligent heed to the Lord, and loving God always, being faithful to Him. So as what Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 9:24, let us run the race. And if you were to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9:24, this, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, and so forth. So Paul exhort us to run this race. He didn't promise us a bed of roses, neither did Jesus. We will face difficulties, but God doesn't want you to give up. God doesn't want you to give up on the challenges ahead of you. God doesn't want you to give up on Him also. Right? God is never a God who is playing a joke with you. God is always there, faithful. Whatever trials you face in life, God will see you through. He will refine you, refine your faith. You may not have the 20/20 hindsight vision, but remember, we have God. Just focus upon God. Focus on His promises and be faithful. Be faithful always. And so I pray that every one of us seated here, when we reach heaven's shore, Jesus will be like the man, the householder in the parable of talents, whereby He commended those who have done well and says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So I pray that as we go through these verses of Joshua 22, you will remind yourself today that yes, no matter what happens, I will not give up on life. I will not give up on my family members, my loved ones, my friends, my colleagues. I will be faithful to what God wants me to do. I will be faithful to God Himself. And so, what happened to the 2.5 tribes in verse 6? They left for their tents. And through, we will also leave the leave this earth for the promised land, right? We will leave for the tents above. And so, are we ready to meet God? Are we ready to meet God and that He would commend us, as I mentioned, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So may the Lord help us to press on in life, and as long as we have breath in our nostrils, there's always hope in Christ. There's always hope in Christ, and be faithful always to Him. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful that You have helped us to realize that You are always a God who is faithful, and great is Your faithfulness. And Lord, we also thank You that You will never leave us nor forsake us. And so help us to have this assurance and to be like You, to be faithful always to You and to men. And pray, O Lord, that You will grant us much of Your grace to live this life. It is fraught with difficulties, problems, but Lord, we know that You care and You will see us through. Help us not to give up, but to press on in life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.